Like to ask you to turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is where Mark's going to be. 1 Timothy 4, 7, and 8. I want to look at for a second. There's probably more than a half a dozen athletic analogies in Scripture. This is one of them that Paul uses especially. And this one's telling us to train ourselves to be godly. Want to look at a couple of the other ones as well. But this is a fantastic passage for us to go to when we are thinking about confessing our sins before the Lord, I believe. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourselves for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for this present life and also for the life to come. I was telling Mark when I was thinking about this week, is this brought me back 28 years ago. I was looking to, it had been 6 years after I had broken my neck playing football, I was looking to spend 5 months in California and just work full-time on therapy. I was all about getting ready, getting better physically. And it was working. I was getting a lot better than I was, and you're like, wait a second, how could you get a lot better in your kind of this situation? But it was a lot better than where I was at the time. But this verse, I remember where I was sitting in the apartment. This verse about verse 8, while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for this present life and also for the life to come. It hit me all of a sudden. It's like, I am investing all wrong here. I got a bad investment strategy because I am all about the physical and the spiritual has said, those were good years for me spiritually, but I was just investing so much in getting better physically, and there's nothing wrong with that. Even in the verse, I think you see that it is of some value, but godliness is of value in every way. Train yourselves for godliness. And in the next verse that I would like, you can turn there or you can just listen if you like. It's 1 Corinthians 9:24. Another race analogy. This is the way he puts it. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one receives the prize? This is good as we're kind of thinking about the Olympics. So you think about how many people had trained, how many hours, how many days, how many years to get, really become good at the event that they were in. So run that you may obtain it. Every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. So I do not run aimlessly. I do not box as one beating the air, but I discipline my body and I keep it under control, lest after preaching to others, I myself should be disqualified. So he puts it in a way where you can't hardly argue. What are those that are going after, whether that's the Olympics in this case, they're going after a what? Perishable wreath. And that's what hit me. I thought, oh no, I am going after a perishable wreath. Something that is not going to last. In the top verse, in the first that we were just thinking about in 1 Timothy, it was bodily training versus godliness. Here it's perishable wreath versus an imperishable one. Perishable wreath. Maybe it's money. Maybe it's entertainment. Maybe it's something. It's just something that's not going to last. Godliness, God's word and the souls of man, those are the things that are going to last for eternity. And that's why Joshua 1:8, many other places, let's meditate therein. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate therein day and night and observe to do according to all that's written therein. For then what? Then he will make your way prosperous and then you'll have good success. Invest in something that matters. Meditating on the word of God. Obeying it so others could see those good works and bring glory to our Lord in heaven. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. So we do not lose heart. Though our outward self is wasting away, our inward self is being renewed day by day. There again, physical, for this light and momentary affliction is preparing an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient. The things that are unseen are eternal. Seen versus unseen. Transient versus eternal. And in this verse, I just am thrilled by the fact that we could say that our Lord has tailor-made our trials to make us godly. Don't complain about your trials. There is nothing wrong with our circumstances. There is a lot wrong with my faith. There is not a thing wrong with my circumstances, and there isn't a thing wrong with your circumstances if you know Jesus. They're perfect. What isn't perfect? The way we see them, right? The way we're handling them, our faith. And I think you can go to, and maybe to finish us in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, you remember chapter 11 is the faith chapter, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. We must believe two things. We must believe that he exists, and we must believe that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see. So he heads to chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews, and what does he say? Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. And going back to that, train yourselves, that's the same sort of word. It's lay off the anything that's going to encumber you. Lay off everything that's going to hold you back. That's the idea. No more hindrances. What's hindering us from being godly? That's the idea here. So let's lay aside every weight. I read one commentary. I thought it was interesting. It was probably true that here he might be talking about a lack of faith because that's the context. In the context of Hebrews 11, what the hindrances, the encumbrances might be, is a lack of faith. And so lay those aside. And the sin which clings so closely. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfection of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Aren't those great words? How do we do this? I have such a lack of faith. What do I do? Verse 2, look to Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Verse 3, consider him. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Let's think of two questions as we go before the Lord. Do we need to change our investment strategy? Do we need to change from the physical to the spiritual somehow? From the seen to the unseen? From the temporary to the eternal? I think they all go together there. And then maybe if we do, and probably we do, then do I need to invest more? More time, more energy, more money, more of our resources in things that really matter. We cannot do this with our energy. First Colossians chapter 1, verse 29. This has got to be with his energy. We strive, we do what we do, but we need to do it with Christ. And so set your eyes on him, look into Jesus, consider him who endured this hostility. And let's do this right now as we take our sins before the throne. I'll give you a minute, and I'll close this. Gracious Father, as only the gospel can do, we come before you broken and confessing that we're sinners because we have missed the mark. We have invested this week in some way, but maybe not well in training ourselves to be godly. Lord, maybe we have invested more in things that really won't matter, in things that are seen instead of things that are unseen, in what's temporary rather than what's eternal. And Lord, I know that that's the case in my life, in this last week, in this last year, for all my years. And so I'm so grateful for your forgiveness. I'm so grateful that we can look to Christ, and that we can not have to just try harder, but instead we can use your energy, that we can not grow weary in well-doing, that we don't have to lose heart, even though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, and that you have forgiven us from the past sin, from sin that we'll commit this week, sin of omission, and things that we do wrong as well. And we're going to need you. We're going to need you desperately to fix our eyes back on your Son and to consider him instead of our circumstances or our trials. So, Lord, we're grateful for this church. I'm grateful that so many in this church are not letting your word depart from their mouth, but they're meditating therein day and night, observing to do according to all that's written. And it's so encouraging to be part of a body that this is the case. Continue to spur us on toward love and good deeds, that we may love each other well, for the sake of the gospel. In Jesus' name, amen.